You heard that. She gets the end seat. She must have access. All right, Romans 12.
Johnny, can you read
in
Proverbs?
According to my calculations, we've had 113 studies in the book of Romans.
Wow.
And we're coming down, we're winding it down, slowly but surely.
Be done by 2022?
Maybe.
Well, when you study the Word of God and really do want to study it, you'll find a lot of study in one book.
Oh, yeah. And, well, Romans is one of those that's probably the thickest book in the Bible, even though it's not the longest.
I could believe that.
Yeah, because, you know, if you go through, especially Old Testament books, there's a lot of narrative stories, so you'd cover more territory.
Easier. Yeah.
But as John and I are demonstrating, last week he covered verse 1.
Yeah.
This week I'll cover verse 2. And could easily turn it into a six-week study if we wanted to. But we're going to cover, because the idea isn't that we squeeze out everything you can, because that can never be done. But we want to give you the gist of the text so that you can go and do your own study. And
foundation.
Yeah. And the idea is if everybody reads through the Bible every year and comes faithfully or listens faithfully to the studies broadcast here, then every year you will grow spiritually.
Amen.
That's just a fact. It's not because of anything we're doing. It's because of the Word of God.
Yep.
There's not enough people to take us up on that, but there are some. And what's amazing is we hear from people every once in a while, and they'll say, "Oh, I've been listening for years, and you know, I just appreciate what you've been doing." And you know, it's just so there's people out there who are following along with our studies and reading their Bibles, spiritually growing out there. We don't know anything about, but we're going to find out one day.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Grow.
Amen. All right, Romans 12. We're going to read verse 1 for context, and if you missed last week's study, get on it. It's out there. We make the same thing you're seeing now. We don't edit it. We just put it right up there so you can feel like you're a part of it. You can pretend you're watching live, and you can watch on Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday.
You can make comments.
But we're going to read verses 1 and 2 to get the context. So I can hear Jenny down there barking orders.
Go Sal.
A three cream.
All right. Pedro, would you open the Bible study prayer?
Amen.
Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for giving us a pretty good week. And thank you for the fellowship and the good study of your word. And be with us as we keep learning your word. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right. Read with me Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. All God's people say amen.
Amen.
So, as I said, John taught us verse 1 last week, and then actually the Sunday message last week, denying self, had everything to do with what we studied in verse 1.
Amen.
But you'll notice if you listen to them both, there's only a couple of things that John and I repeated from each other. Then there was the Joel study in Joel 2, where God told people that he wanted them to rend their hearts.
Yeah.
and come to Him with all their heart. And all that plays into the same message we have here in Romans 12, 1 and 2. And then after this, we're going to be in Luke 9, 24, which will carry on additional call when it comes to you. There's negative and there's positive, and there's a lot to be dealt with. Number one, you have to deny yourself. And people say, well, that's works. That doesn't have anything to do with salvation. It isn't works, and it does have everything to do with salvation, because when you drop everything you previously believed and repent, your repentance is full. It's of what you are, what you do. Then you are denying yourself when you accept the gospel by the very nature of what you're doing.
Amen.
It's impossible to turn to God and not repent. And you got all these insane, mostly hyper-dispensationalist types who say, you shouldn't preach repentance, it's works. And we've demonstrated over and over, it's not works. It's a work. You could say this, it's a work of God. It's not your works, it's His work in you. The gospel, the message, calls you to repent. Because you have to repent. You have to deny yourself in order to come empty-handed to God and believe on that gospel as your only means of salvation. You see that?
Pick up that cross daily and die.
Well, that's different, see? That's your walk. But when it comes to you coming to God in the first place, it starts with you denying yourself. And you drop everything. That's what you get in trouble with people, because they'll say, I'm a Christian. They'll even say, I'm saved. Then you talk to them a little bit and you find out what they mean. Well, I believe in Jesus, but I still also, I believe you have to do good works. I think you have to be baptized and be a member of the church and this and that. Well, wait a minute. You're still on self.
Yeah.
See? You have to drop all that and turn to the Lord empty-handed and trust only in the works of Jesus Christ for salvation. Yeah. It's downright scary for the people that I'm not in trouble, but it's scary on their behalf when you talk to people and they immediately start adding things about themselves when it comes to their being saved. Once you're saved, then there is a daily thing that happens. It's a choice you make, and you could call that works.
But,
that's it goes hand in hand, though, because once you're saved, that's immediately what your rest of your life should be. Daily picking up your cross. We'll talk more about that, obviously, in our other studies.
The people that are saved, they talk about themselves when it comes to talking about their position. They usually talk about how no good they are. Because they acknowledge that they're nothing.
They should.
That's how I talk when I.
You should. That's right.
Myself.
Yeah, that's.
I'm nothing.
Yeah.
And that's.
What's sad is that's not.
When I hear people talk, when they talk about themselves in that sense about being a Christian, being saved, and they diminish themselves.
That's a good sign.
That's a good sign.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Because when you diminish, that's denying. You do it. That's right. As John the Baptist said, I must decrease and he must increase. So we pick up there in verse 2 with the thought in verse 1. You have to have that in the back of your mind. Based on the mercy of God, it's only reasonable that we present our bodies as a living sacrifice. We are, as John pointed out, we're separated unto God. And when he does that, he makes us clean. We couldn't be separated unto God if we were not clean. So we are in his sight, in a legal sense, we are clean. But also, you can be clean in a practical sense. You come clean with the Lord. You confess your sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Cleanse. Clean. None of us get through a whole day without in some way sullying ourselves, and that's because of the world we live in. And we still have a sinful nature. But when we become aware of our sin, we turn to the Lord with confession, but also we should confess our sins that we don't even know we committed. You should just tell the Lord, I know there's probably more. I know there's more. There's ways I failed you. You know it. And I ask you to forgive me and to open my eyes to that. Show me those things. And so picking up with that thought, it says in verse 2, and be not conformed to this world. And that right there is it when it comes to why so many Christians are failing in their daily walk, failing in their lives. There is so much conformity to this world.
Yeah.
It's just, and, you know, Jenny and I, you know, we don't say it to everybody all the time, talking to other people, because it might sound like we're tooting our own horn. We're not. We're just talking to each other, and it's a reality. They'll show the most popular, I mean, they were talking about this guy, I can't remember his name, one of the most popular country singers today.
We're like,
who is that?
Willie Nelson?
I've never heard of the guy.
No, it's not Willie Nelson.
Well, I'm not the only one who feels that way.
And
I got a friend who talks to me, and he's talking to me about all these people, different things, and it's like, huh?
And the most popular TV shows, and I think Blue Bloods is still on. I know about that one, Tom Selleck, you know, and they got...
It's still on.
It's still on.
And this isn't the last... That thing's going to go on forever.
No.
12 years.
This season's supposed to start, I think, January the 7th.
Last Man Standing, we know about that. And that's this season will be their last. I did hear that. So, you know, we're not totally out of, you know. But you know, there are probably of 1,000 things you could point out about pop culture. Jenny and I may score a 10% on it. Not by purpose. We're not doing it on purpose. But ain't nobody got time for that. I mean, I think all these Christians will tell you they don't have time to read through the Bible. And a lot of them don't have time to come to church. And a lot of them don't have time to do anything for the Lord. But they all got all the time in the world to keep up with all the TV shows and the music and everything else.
Yeah.
That's what you call conforming to the world. As a matter of fact, any time you put off God for something in the world, something that even is pleasurable to you in the world, you are conforming to the world.
Yeah.
Anytime you do that. Now, we all do that, but the level that you see a lot of people doing it is just sad. After what we read in verse 1, after we understand what Christ has done for us and that it's only reasonable that we're not always just trying to please our flesh. But that's how most people live their lives, just pleasing the flesh. I want to look at a couple things about this world in 1 John, if you want us to turn there to start with. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John 5:19. And I know my wife loves this verse, so I'm going to ask her to read it.
And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
The whole world. You know, I've heard a lot of these carnal Christians that love this world. Now, well, God loved the world. That, you know, so why is it wrong for us to... Now, hold on. First of all, it's past tense. You ever notice that?
Exactly.
God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So God's love of the world was not... what the world was. He gave his only begotten Son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God loved the world with a desire to make it not the world.
Amen.
Christians loving the world is sin. It's you're backslidden. Every time you and I do that, it's a sin. And if we live our lives like that, we're in a condition of what we call a backslidden condition. You've backed away from the Lord and you're in love with the world. And that's what Jesus was talking about when he said, remember Lot's wife. Lot's wife was in love with the world.
Yeah.
And being rescued from the fire and brimstone that destroyed the city, and she still couldn't help herself to look back longingly. And that's what Jesus warns us when he says, remember Lot's wife. That's what he's talking about. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verses 18 through 20. And if you're in love with the world, you're in love with foolishness. Jeannie Allball, if you're there.
First Corinthians
chapter 3.
Okay. One sec. And what
read verse 18.
3:18. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise.
That's a hard thing, hard pill to swallow, but you know what? The world should think that everybody in this room is a fool. You understand that?
Yeah.
But see, everybody's so concerned with what everybody thinks of me. And, you know, that pride.
Yeah.
Self-esteem. Puffed up, chest out, I am proud. And even in Christian churches, that's been taught. And the Bible says, you know what? Everybody in the world should think you're a fool. And when the world thinks you're a fool, they're not persecuting you. They're complimenting you. When the world thinks you're a fool, that's a compliment. If what you care about is what the Lord thinks about you, then when you are painted up as a fool, it happens all the time. All you got to do is open your mouth and speak the word of the Lord, and you'll have compliments all day long. Get on social media instead of watching kitten videos all day, which there's nothing wrong with a cute, good, you know, I'm not saying anything bad about those videos. But if that's all you're doing on social media, why aren't you talking to people and interacting? Everywhere you go, doesn't matter where it is, everywhere you go, you should be looking for opportunities to talk to people about the Lord.
Amen.
And I'm on one group on MeWe called C-Vine. And they're people who claim to be Christians, and they post in these things. Like one has a picture of a guy with that, what's her name? Not Gazelle. What is that? Jeffrey Epstein's girlfriend.
Her name is.
But they have a picture of some guy with her, and they're telling everybody it's the Supreme Court Chief Justice John Roberts. Well, he's a white dude, but he's not John Roberts. And anybody who compares the two pictures can see it's not John Roberts. Mm-hmm. But he's, you know, he's got the same dark hair. John Roberts has more of a silver dark, you know, salt and pepper. This guy smiles and shows his teeth. I couldn't find a single picture of John Roberts showing his teeth when he smiles. That's the way I am. When I was a little kid, I'd go to school, and they say, now show your teeth, smile. I'm like, that would hurt. I can't get my mouth open to do that. I mean, you know, I just have too much lip. I don't know what it is, but I never could show my teeth and I smile. So anyway, all I did was point out, I said, that's not John Roberts. You know, it doesn't help anything to post things that aren't true. But they didn't want to hear the truth. And so they kicked me out of the group.
More free time.
But that's how most Christians are. When you try to just tell them the truth, I'm talking about worldly Christians here.
Yeah.
Now, when you want to talk about the world, it gets even worse. And so, in another group, OAN Friends or something like that, and this guy posted in there, and he says, well, you know, you got to be careful when you just, somebody had been quoting the Bible. And he says, you got to be careful just throwing Bible verses out there like that, because there's a lot of Bible verses people quote, and they're not real. And the way he said it was that there are verses in the Bible that aren't real. So I said, that's not true. And, you know, I say every verse in the Bible is real. Every verse in the Bible is true. But then he came back and said, you're taking my words out of context. What I said was, and what he said was, that when people say things like, you know, cleanliness is next to godliness. That's not in the Bible. People do that all the time.
Yeah.
But that's not what he said. And I said, well, if that's what you meant, then just say that, and you can correct, you know, you can go up and edit your remark and say, I meant to say, or whatever. But no, he had to stick to his guns. I said, well, that's not what you said, and I'm just taking it your word. And so if that's what you meant, that's great. You're right if that's what you meant. Mm-hmm. But when you say that there are verses in the Bible that aren't real, that was his exact words, that's a false statement. So instead of saying,
I'm sorry,
you're right, I should have just said this. Or he didn't even have to say, you're right. I mean, I wasn't out there. I just wanted people to know what he said, even if he didn't mean it. He said what he said, and it's not true. So what's he do? He gets mad and tells me to F off.
Oh, that's spiritual.
So you got this guy with his vile, foul mouth trying to teach people that. And what if he really meant what he said, then he was actually telling them the truth. But he said it wrong and was too proud to admit it.
Yeah.
And he got so angry, he started spewing satanic, vile language. And so that's what you're dealing with, folks. And people will paint you up as the fool. Let's continue reading. Verses 19. John, are you there? John E. Allball. Yeah, read 19 and 20 there.
Just a moment here. Okay, I got it. I'll get it just a second. 1 Corinthians 3:19.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There we are. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness.
19:20.
That's right. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain.
Now just let that sink in. And how many Christians go to, when I was younger, it was Oprah. Before that, it was Phil Donahue.
Yeah.
Now you've got nincompoops like Whoopi Goldberg.
Oh, my goodness.
And that, what is that red-haired wicked woman on The View? I mean,
Joy Behar.
You got, of all people, you got Drew Barrymore giving people advice and
the
actress that should just act. I'll put it that way. I mean, you know, you're a great actor or actress. I think she's a pretty good actress. I wouldn't put it, but I'm not calling her up for life coaching. And her life hasn't been a total disaster like some of the ladies, you know, like Hillary Duff and some of them, but it hasn't been a stellar example, and she's not a Christian. And all these people, none of these people ever give any kind of, and Oprah's an antichrist, for example.
Yeah.
Phil Donahue was an antichrist.
Yeah.
I mean, these people were totally against biblical Christianity, and yet Christians would turn that crap on day in and day out and think it wasn't affecting them. I'll tell you why it was affecting them. Number one, they were in violation of Psalm 1.
That's right.
And number two, they weren't practicing Acts 17:11. If you're standing there, if you're watching something with an open Bible, I had somebody one time in my own house point and say, well, you look at all those books you read, a lot of them aren't written by Christians. I said, yes, and I don't read them and just believe what they say. I read them and test them against the Scripture.
Amen.
Amen.
But see, that's the mindset, the worldly mindset. And they'll just turn that stuff on. Yeah, Johnny?
So I guess another thing you could say when they say, oh, but what about, you know, all those books, like you just said? Well, it brings up an important rule that's also true in the Bible, which is context.
Yeah.
When we read those books, we know what we're getting.
Yeah. You should
know what you're getting, that you're not taking it as biblical truth.
Yeah, and even the Christian books, you read them, you know, yeah. Jenny reads to me, I'm like a little kid, and right before bedtime, Jenny reads a book to me. And sometimes they get pretty, you know, I try to read things that I think she might enjoy most of the time, but sometimes I stick her. There's the Fundamentals. I don't know if you ever read those that they put out back in the 100 years ago. It gets pretty scholarly and academic and stuff. So we break that up a little bit. But we're reading a book now by Gary Habermas. What's it called?
Grief and something.
Yeah.
Grief
and Resurrection. But all the time, Jenny's like, that's not the right Bible. You know, because these books, they quote these other Bibles all the time. She whips out her King James Bible out of the phone, you know. Then she reads it. That's the way you do it. That's the right way to do it. Amen.
I want
to
get that stuff in my head.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. You read a book that's got that garbage in it, when it comes to the Bible verses, stop and look it up in your King James, read it, and then move on. Yeah.
What I've done in that instance a few times is I'll then write the correct verse on the side of the book.
Yeah.
So it says corrected.
And then years from now, if the Lord tarries, someone gets that in a thrift store, and they're like, ooh, wonder why she did that.
Maybe they're different.
So that's the foolishness that we're talking about when the Bible says that we are to be fools in the eyes of the world. And then one last thing before we move on, we got to touch on is in 2 Corinthians. So turn over there. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And Jill Allball with her spotlight over there, that feel free to bring your own little light like Jill has if you have trouble reading your Bible because of the light. We have pretty good light, but it's still, for those of us with visual impairment, it can be a little hard to read sometimes. But 2 Corinthians 4:4. So, Joe, when you get there, go ahead and read that. 2 Corinthians 4:4, we're going to see about this world, an interesting thing that people don't think about.
In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them.
Now you notice that's a small g. That's because that's talking about Satan. Who is the God of this world?
Yeah.
You want to be in love with this world? Like Satan is the God of this world. And of course, we could go on and on with things that we'll talk about in other messages, but James says that friendship with the world is enmity with God. Why? Because Satan is the God of this world. That's God's enemy.
Amen.
And many, many other things about this world tell us what we then started with back in Romans. Be not conformed to this world. Why? That's why. What we just read, those passages should tell you enough why not to be conformed to it. But see, that's the negative. And anybody who says, I just want to hear positive things, well, you're messed up in the head. You need to hear the positive and the negative.
Yeah.
And we always refer to a battery. A battery doesn't work unless there's the negative and the positive. If you have friends and all they listen to is positive hits, positive music, positive thoughts, positive calendars, positive books, positive friends, positive, positive. They're nuts. They are imbalanced. If you're all positive, this is what you look like in God's eyes. You're walking through life totally imbalanced. There's to be a balance.
Yeah.
With the gospel itself, people preach the gospel and all they preach is, Jesus will make your dreams come true. Well, eventually. But there's this thing about sin that he died for that you have to then recognize in yourself, repenting toward God. Negative. With faith toward. Positive. See? Negative and positive. And I'm telling you, it's just like these schemes people get involved in. How many of you have been involved in something like Amway? Come on. Yeah, you can admit. All right, and there's several different versions of that. Anything like that, like pyramid type schemes, you know.
Yeah.
And man, they get you in there and they tell you how much money everybody else is making. If you just do this and do that for a few months, you'll be rich and all this. We're just a bunch of suckers. We buy the product. We might scam a couple of our friends and relatives into the same mess, and that's the end of it. I don't know anybody but Charles Stanley who ever made any money off of Amway. I mean, personally. I met people who claimed they did, but personally, anybody I know who got involved in Amway, I don't know of anybody. Everybody bought a bunch of product, suckered a few other people into it, and then found out they weren't going to make any money and quit. You know, well, that's because what we lacked when we got suckered into that was any critic. And the inner critic we were missing. Criticism is not bad. It's neutral. criticism can be bad.
Yeah.
If it's done wrong. But you're supposed to always be a critic. You have to, anytime someone tells you something about the Bible, you are a critic, and that's what Acts 17:11 means. You search the scripture to see if what's being said is so. But that's true about anything.
You know, Martha texted me. So Joel Osteen is a good example of only focusing on positive.
That's right.
And it just creates a mess.
Yeah.
She said that he now has a little tiny thing you put in your hand and you press it every day, and it gives you an hour of positive messages.
Yeah.
So Joel Osteen, creating imbalanced Christians. That's it. That should be the name of his motto of his ministry. Huh?
That's if they are.
Well, if they're Christians, yeah, we're using that term very loosely, I guess. I think a lot of people are Christians that get mixed into that stuff, and it's just because they don't think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, thankfully, you don't go to hell for. You become a Christian, you don't lose your salvation when you don't think, because all of us do that sometimes. But then some of them you really question, because when you talk to them about it, they totally shut off from the truth.
If they're Christians, you know, it's like feeding you have a little tiny baby, and all you give them is sweet things. Yeah, they like sweet things.
Yeah.
But you're going to have a sick little kid who does not grow.
Yeah.
That they're going to be ill, they're going to be unhealthy, and they're going to be stunted.
Yeah. That's right. You have to have the negative, which would be something like broccoli.
Yeah.
But I eat other vegetables. I don't eat broccoli very often.
Aw, broccoli's like miniature trees.
So the negative was be not conformed. What's the positive? But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's where you're receiving the word of God. Look over to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 20. Colossians 1:20. John Allball.
Colossians 1:20. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven.
Now you've received that. That is a gift to you. Amen. Having made peace through the blood of his cross, Jesus shed his blood, and it's to reconcile all things to himself. And then it continues now based on, give you that little context. Janie, read 21:22 there.
In Colossians?
Yes, right where we're at.
And you that were sometime alienated and the enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy, and unblameable, unprovable in his sight.
Now, did you notice there where it says you were sometime alienated and enemies in your what?
Mind.
Again, a lot of people don't give that much thought, but God looked at you as an enemy.
Amen.
Before you were saved. He loved you enough to send his son to die for your sins, but because I'll put it this way, the first time you reject the gospel, you've made yourself an enemy of God. And every time, you just put salt in the wound, grieving God with your rejection of that gospel, until the day you got saved, and at that moment, you're no longer an enemy of God. And that mind, I don't know if you can remember it. Some of you were saved so young, you may think, well, my mind wasn't that bad. Don't give me that. I know when you were a little five-year-old, you were constantly thinking bad things. Constantly. Thinking about what you could do mommy and daddy couldn't catch you doing. Something mommy and daddy said not to touch, and you thought real long and hard, and sometimes you did touch it.
You know, Ezra is a year and a half old.
And
he knows not to eat crayons.
And he eats them.
Yes, and his mommy and daddy are not wicked. He ate a blue crayon.
That sinful nature. That wicked little mind. Cute as a button and wicked as can be.
Is it a joke? He,
yeah, he ate a blue crayon, so he, it was, we called it Bluetooth.
Great color choice there.
And that's why as soon as you become conscious of the fact that you're a sinner, you become conscious of the existence of God, you become conscious of these things, and then you hear the gospel and you reject that gospel, you are an enemy in your mind against God. You're rejecting him and his gospel. That's where we all started with God. And thank God, because of what Jesus did, as soon as we repented toward God, with faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ, we were saved. And so we're reconciled. We're no longer supposed to be enemies in our minds. And yet, if you're, I don't care if you're professing Christian or not, if your mind is constantly on the world and worldly things, you are in practice acting like an enemy of God. And when you teach something that goes against Scripture, you're acting like an enemy of God. And so what do? That's where all of us, we are responsible for ourselves. I'm not responsible for you, thank you, Lord, because I can't handle myself. I can't take on you. And same thing's true about you if you're being honest. You can't take on other people. That's why these people are always looking at everybody else. There's a problem there because I know they can't even handle what they've got going on in here and in here. It's a daily battle. You know, clean up your own house before you try to clean up mine. That guarantees you're never going to try to clean up mine. Now, again, if you see something, don't deny it. If a brother in Christ is out on the street, you know, and cussing people, or, you know, you see him coming out drunk, staggering out of a bar, or, you know, it's anything. You find out they're involved in something they shouldn't be, or committing a sin they shouldn't be, then as a you go to them, but not as judgmental, because you know your own heart and mind. You go to them in love and say, listen, man, that's something you need to change. There's something wrong with that. But that'll keep you humble. If you see a Christian who's not humble, it's a Christian who's not being honest with themselves about themselves. And they're not being honest with God in prayer about themselves either. Those two things right there will keep you humble. And so being reconciled and no longer to be enemy of God in our mind. Look over at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17. And we're going to read a few verses here. We'll start with Brother Doug back there. If you can read verse 17 of Ephesians 4.
This is saying, therefore, and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind.
In the vanity of their what?
Mind.
See, you were an enemy of God in your mind. Now you're saved, and you shouldn't be like other unsaved Gentiles. That's what he's saying. The vanity of their mind. That's the worst thing about social media, is it puts that on full display. I mean, I like to see pictures when people post what's going on in their life. But then there are some people where their pictures, first of all, they aren't even real. You know, they make sure everything's just set up perfect and everything. That's what Instagram is, where people put up their fake life.
Yeah.
And it's all the vanity of their mind. They're just trying to impress everybody and make everybody think. And I'm sorry, I don't mean to be crude, but I just have to say this. The world is so fleshly and everything. The most popular Instagrams are women taking pictures of their butts. You don't realize that? Some of the most widely viewed Instagram posts. I saw this. I'm not on Instagram, but I saw this in an article. The most millions of views and likes and everything is people like that. What's her name? Kardashian. And these other women putting pictures of their butts. Now, that's being viewed by hundreds of millions of people.
You mean that Kardashian is supposed to be more Christian now because her husband
Well, you would. That's a good point. There's a good example of someone who claims to be a Christian but is totally worldly and in love with the world and putting pictures of her own rear end on Instagram. And every few days or weeks, it's a different view of her big butt. And you're like, that's the world you live in. And, well, that's what the vanity of their mind means, because then there are probably millions, but at least hundreds of thousands of women and little girls who do the same thing. They don't get as many views because they're not as well known and everything, but they're in the vanity of their mind trying to get attention. And guys, you know, showing all their, you know, muscles and everything. And a lot of them, it's pictures from 1965, you know. And they put that up there without their shirt on, showing their muscles. You know, why? Why can't they show what they really look like now? I love it. My mom used, you know, she'd say, I ain't getting my picture today. You know, my dad says, well, that's what you look like, Norma.
Mom, if you're listening, don't pay no attention.
Oh, Mom. Everybody, most of us, I think, that are not full of ourselves really don't care to see ourselves in pictures a lot of times. Right. I'm just speaking for myself. But that is what I look like. You know, so what am I going to do? Go find a picture from 1987, you know, and put it up there. And then people come to my page and think that's what I look like. And then they meet me in real life and they're like, whoa, what happened to you? But that's what people do. It's the vanity of their mind. And they're all about impressing the world and being liked by the world. But we continue there, verse 18. Chuck, in the back, can you read verse 18?
Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart.
There you go. Having the understanding darkened, alienated from the life of God. And it's a shame when you see Christians like that. It shouldn't be that way. We can be enlightened. And we can be full of God's word and filled with his spirit, singing a song of praise in our hearts and sometimes out loud when it's appropriate. And talk about Jesus and tell people about Jesus and give out gospel tracts and pray. Even while you're driving or whatever, pray without ceasing. There's so much you can do that is so biblical for a Christian to do. And if you do that as much as you should, you don't have time for the world. You just wouldn't have time for the world. So let's close there with the last phrase in our text in Romans 12. That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Go over just one chapter in Ephesians, Ephesians 5, and verses 6 through 11. But it's a simple matter, but it's just difficult for people to just do it. And that is, you are saved. Now fill your mind and heart with the things of God. And you will now then be able to discern the will of God. And so verse 6 in Ephesians 5. Tracy, are you there?
Yes.
Can you read that?
Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience.
So don't, you know, be deceived with the world and their words. Be filled with God's words. I'm going to skip down here to Pedro, can you read 7 through 10?
Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, providing that,
prove it,
providing what is acceptable unto the Lord.
Amen. That's it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for our time in this book, that you help us to understand. Help us, Lord, to do what we learned this morning. Help us not to be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Help us to fill our minds and our hearts with your word, to have a song in our heart, and Lord, to always have the gospel of Jesus Christ on our lips. Anytime we have an opportunity to talk to the lost or give out that gospel tract, help us to fill our lives with the things of God. to become more and more divorced from this world. We can only do it by the power of your Spirit.
Amen.
And by the direction of your word. Help us, each one of us, and now be with us also as we fellowship and the singing and the Bible study and the prayer, that you bless us with in this opportunity of local church fellowship every week. We just thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, come back a few minutes and we'll have some more.